Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
All right, we are at the World Food Championship in Dallas, Texas. This is the Walk and Talk Podcast. I am Carl Fiadini, your host. And we have special guests at the table today. We have the Mike McLeod. Like, you are the man around here, as I understand it.
He's the commissioner.
The commish?
Yeah, don't tell people that. They ask me all kinds of crazy questions like, can I plug in my iPhone here?
Can you sell me this or sell me that?
I get it. Have a restroom? I get all the tough questions when they know that.
You know, I realized right away when I had a question and I saw you coming, I'm like, nah.
Let me
go over here.
Thank you.
I get
You're
it.
Are sporks allowed for competition?
I love it. All right. Now, I have all to my left, Anthony Martorina.
Oh, that was perfect.
Did I say it right?
Oh, it was perfect.
Okay. Because, you know, I go into a trance. I don't even remember this stuff. It kind of comes out. All right. We're having a blast. First of all, Mike, we're having a blast over here. So between you and Mark and whoever else made decisions about us coming here, what a beautiful experience.
We are delighted you're here. You guys are top notch. And to have you right here in the heartbeat of everything that's going on with food sport, I just think it's a natural. And where y'all been for 10 years? My goodness, come on.
We're out there having a good time.
Y'all should have been here earlier. But from here on out, you're here.
Heard that.
Got it.
Okay. That's a handshake.
That's recorded.
You got that on tape.
Did you get that? Are we recording?
Yeah, we're definitely recording on that one.
Should we get some playback on that?
Can I get a signature? All right. So, questions for both of you. What is your favorite component of this entire event? I know that just going to blow your mind, but since I was not able to ask you questions or anything for the past 5 days, you get that one.
No, it's easy. It's the passion. These contestants, whether they're chefs, home cooks, pro teams, doesn't matter. They bring passion to the table in every way that you can imagine. Doesn't matter if it's dessert category, soup category, live fight, whatever. These people are the best in the business. They are passionate for a reason. They love what they do. They're sharing the language of food, which is the language of love. And seeing them at their best, and even sometimes when they're not at their best. It's always a sentimental and emotional and exciting week for me, and it's the one thing for me that is my adrenaline fix, right? That I can power through 5 days of crazy food sport activity.
So before you answer that question, I want to take what you said, but I'm going to put that on its own on a vessel. That vessel for me, because I agree with that 100%. The vessel is you take, you know, Jane Joe home cook, and they're up against like, hey, I'm the executive chef of
John McFadden.
Yeah, like I'm the executive chef of, you know, 40 properties or whatever. Like, and they're competing against each other, and some of these home cooks are like, you know, they're hanging in there. For me, I think that's fascinating, number one, because I've been dealing with chefs for a long time. And to see that kind of that synergy, and you they bring that home cook into that camaraderie factor that, you know, people in the kitchen have, I think that's amazing. So forgive me for jumping in on you. Anthony, what do you think?
No, I was going to say, Mike said it perfectly, but it's the creativity, too, that these chefs bring, because they know they have to bring something different to the table. When they go on to the next round, I see them, they're sitting here writing down notes, they're writing down ingredients, they're talking to other chefs, hey, does this work, does that work? And it's just that level, they're an artist, they really are, they're an artist, they're painting a picture on a plate, and then they're trusting it to the judges when they're putting that in front of them. And it's an amazing moment.
What do you think about that?
I agree. There's layers of this. I mean, if you really want to peel back the onion, no pun intended, right, or pun intended, there's all kinds of layers to this food sport thing, whether it's creativity, execution, camaraderie, community, passion. It's a little bit of everything.
I was judging seafood the other day, and Chef John McFadden, he was up on the top level stage there.
And the showcase
stage. Here's what I think is amazing. You get chefs and people who have this personality and charisma, and he's a solo act too. He's up there by himself, right? So he's got things working, he's cooking, he's doing his thing. But what he's doing is he's taking people from the crowd and he's bringing them into the fold, and he's being a showman. And it's not just him. There was a bunch of competitors like that where they're bringing the people here, even other chefs, into it. I think what you did here to create this is really amazing. This needed to be done a long time ago.
I'm glad it wasn't. But
true story. Yeah, I get it.
But you know what we did? People think that we created the magic. We didn't. We just found a way to bottle it. You know, the magic was already out there. Chefs and home cooks and pro teams did not have a level playing field. They didn't have one place where they all could go.
Right.
There are competitions and championships for each one of those segments, whether it's online or if it's in France or somewhere else. ACF, those kinds of things exist. We just decided there needed to be a level playing field, because at the end of the day, we're all great. If we're cooks, we're all great at cooking something, right? So let's say it's a dessert. And the question becomes, when you see an executive chef create a pecan pie, a la tarte, whatever, and you think to yourself, well, I could do that good, I could do that, or I could beat that. Before we came along, there was no place to prove that.
Showcase,
and
yeah.
At the World Food Championships, you can. You just got to have the idea, you got to have the energy, you got to get qualified, and then you got to execute when you get there. And you brought up John McFadden right off the bat there. I think, first of all, I think he, on a side note, he's kind of like the first AI interpretation of a chef, because he's a machine. He's 100% a machine.
I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
I have been in more than 1,000 kitchens in my tenure in this business, and I've seen a lot of different types of chefs. That guy is a machine to the highest level of machinery.
I feel like I'm really good at making up my bed in the morning without any wasted moves. This guy takes it to another level.
I'm saying. Right?
There's no wasted moves.
What you just said is the chef's dream.
Yeah.
We constantly sit there, and some of the contestants from the junior that Carl was judging, after they got done, I said to them, like, how many steps did you have? And one of them, the guys looked at me. DJ was doing the cutting thing. And he was like, I never thought of it that way. I'm like, The plate you put down is one step. The product you put down is two, three, four, five. If you go over a certain time limit or a certain amount of steps
you lose
you're
time.
Done.
Yeah, you lose time.
And what I wanted to point out, you mentioned it too, Michael. You said community. And what you did without even knowing this, and we found this out last night, Scott from Dat Sauce, as we're walking out, we're loading up, and he goes, come on over. And I'm like, oh, God, it's like
do I want to do that?
Oh, it's going to be late
night. Am I imposing?
My feet hurt. You know.
So we ended up going back to the Airbnb. We were going to do lamb chops, and we ended up going over there. And we walked in not knowing a single person, not a single soul. We walked out having new family members. So kudos for you to bring this. And you see it when people win. They're not like, damn it, I should have done that and backstabbing them. It's like cutthroat kitchen. It's, oh, my God, you won. And JP was on earlier. He was ringing the bell for all his friends.
Right.
And what you did with that is just absolutely stunning.
Well, I can't take the credit because it's really been a massive effort, a massive team, great team, talented team, pulling this together every year. And really – what we learned is that if we just set the rules and everybody knows the rules and they can follow the rules, then the passion of the industry becomes its own energy, right? It just kind of follows itself.
You're self-repelling.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And self-refilling and refueling. And it's just, you see it happening every year. And our community keeps getting a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, which I love.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So before we get too much further along, what's your claim to fame, Anthony? Antonio.
So my claim to fame is year two. I remember I went to Las Vegas,
all right,
and
back to World
I wasn't competing. I was
Dallas,
just
Texas.
I actually judged.
Did you guys
some
have a good
food,
time with high school barbecue?
And I was kind of hooked at that point. And then the third year in Kissimmee, launched five events where I literally went to all five events, and it was kind of the big kickoff. And Mike came up to me that night, and he looked at me.
You hear this crowd, too, by the way?
Yeah.
How do you not? But yeah, forgive me.
And so what's amazing is Mike came up to me and goes, I got you a present.
And I
go, what'd you get me? And
he pulls out
the Chefery jersey.
Look, I'm going to tell you one thing.
He got it for me. It was embroidered. It said Kissimmee. And he says, I want you in that arena 8:30 tomorrow morning. And I said, no. I said, I was so tired. Literally, I did five events in 8 hours, and I didn't want to wake up in the morning. And he goes, just take it home. Think about it.
Was there a horse head in his bed? Is that what happened?
When I woke up the next morning, that jersey was sitting at the foot of my bed. It was just sitting there, and it was talking to me. And I go, I'm going to try it on. I tried it on, and I was like, oh, that feels kind of nice, right? And the night before, Mike's like, no pressure. Don't have to do it. You do it, you don't have to do it. There I was, 8:30 in the morning, kissing me, microphone, talking to the chefs. Mike walked by. He looked at me. We caught eyes. He just gave me a nod, and he kept walking.
And in the background was...
I was kind of rubbing my tie like this.
He had a couple of walnuts in his hand. He's cracking some walnuts.
Yeah, of course. Flipping a quarter or something like that.
But Mike is always innovating, and he's always adding more onto that. And that was kind of missing that element of the chefery, the person that was there enforcing the rules.
You were the first. So you were the first.
I was the first one. Yeah. So I was the first one, the original one. That can't take that away from me. But that was just so exciting to be in that
pit, be there watching chefs blowing the whistle, making sure that somebody was enforcing the rules.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is you do want that level playing field. You know, chefs will hide stuff at times, you know, try to sneak something in stuff.
We never do.
That doesn't happen.
That's like saying we don't have egos.
That doesn't. What?
But look at now. There's chefferies everywhere.
Right.
You know.
I do want to. Look, everybody here who is part of an event of this size, it's complicated, and the reality is, it's hard. Jeanette is irreplaceable.
She's a beast.
She is irreplaceable.
She's definitely a beast.
I just want you. I know she's in a different. She's in a different time zone, but for me it was perfect because we were communicating like 10, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So she's working 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? And you know, throughout this entire setup process leading up to now. So I mean, she's I just wanted to give her a shout out.
Thank you.
She's awesome.
Appreciate that.
Mike, real quick, you're probably going to get up there soon.
Actually, they're doing high school barbecue awards.
Okay.
I think I get a little bit of a break.
You got a break. Yeah. Okay, cool. What I want to know is, what was your culinary background, or what's your food history? Where did this come from?
So this is my favorite question. I am a fantastic eater, and that's about it.
Carl, there's your brother.
Yeah, right?
There you go.
If there was a microwave championship, I would be the champion. I didn't come at this from food. I came at this from a marketing background, from a business background, entrepreneurial background. And in 2006, I became the marketing director, essentially, for the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And dove head first into barbecue, learned everything I could about it, fell in love with it. I knew that I always loved it, eating it. But then I started learning what a pitmaster's life is like and how much they practice. And how much they're just like an athlete. They just do it with tongs.
That's a lifestyle.
Right? And I had friends who were traveling all over the country, and I was like, why the hell do you pull a pit 1,000 miles to make some ribs? Just buy some when you get there. I didn't quite understand it, right? And when I finally understood it, I was like, oh, my goodness. There is a cottage industry here that is going to explode, and I want to help it. And so I hitched my wagon to it, and we spent 4 or 5 years growing KCBS to a major level, helped them go international, helped them double their membership, brought Sam's Club into their world, and started the very first national barbecue tour.
Did you already have a relationship with Sam's?
No.
So you started
cut it out of.
Yeah, you started it.
I started that. I started the Sam's Club barbecue tour with a bunch of wonderful guys from Sam's Club who aren't there anymore. But started a new tournament strategy for barbecue. And then I realized, you know, this can happen with dessert. This can happen with burger. This can happen with sandwich, so on and so forth. And so we began asking ourselves, why is there not a Super Bowl for food? And that was the genesis of the World Food Championships. We just were brave enough and stupid enough to take it on. If we knew then
says
what we
every
know
entrepreneur.
Now, if yes. we knew then what we know now, we'd be scared to death to have started this.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I can appreciate that. Now, what we're doing is on a smaller scale, but I'm just one person. Well, starting this was just one person. And it was still a large investment because there's a lot that goes into this, and there's even more stuff back home. But without and to kind of pay ode to this, you know, who gets you somewhere, I can't get anywhere without this guy and that guy and five other people who are working for nothing or very little and putting in the sweat equity and doing all these things to launch something and become something, right?
Right.
So anyway, so how does it? With your ticket, so you can recently over the summer there was the IMG deal. Congratulations on
thank
that.
You.
Because I've been through some of those sorts of situations before in my past, and that's a holy grail scenario. What comes next now? Because this is like it was only three or four months ago that occurred. So this particular venue was already established. What's going to happen going forward?
It's a great question. We don't really know that we have the answer yet, but we are in deep, deep conversations about how to invest the right money and the right relationships into the World Food Championships to take it to the next level.
Right.
We're looking at this now as WFC 2.0.
What did we make today?
We've done a phenomenal job, I think, getting it to a certain point. But to be honest with you, I was starting to lean over my skis too much. Right. This is Strawberry more than one guy's pocketbook and a staff of about 20 could pull off. Or we're going to throttle it too much. We're going to bottleneck it too much. So with IMG coming in, we now have access to resources that I could only dream of. We have access to partnerships and strategic relationships around the world. They have offices in 30 countries, for example.
Wow.
So, taste of Singapore, taste of Paris, taste of London, taste of Sydney, those kinds of things already, the infrastructure is there. And so now we're talking about how do we plug WFC food sports into the middle of that, or around it, or attach it to the side of it, whatever it is. That's what's happening next. As far as the championship, we have other big conversations going. How do we make mixology and pairings?
I got a question.
Much more obvious in what we're doing.
How can I be a judge of mixology?
See me after class.
So I want to throw your... Listen here, you SOB. I want to get you cooking in here. All right, I'm gonna hurt you, son. No,
is he gonna be able to switch the show while he's cooking?
By the time this comes,
right?
By the time this comes back full circle, we're gonna have some other help in here, and your butt's gonna be cooking.
What you've done to me the last two. I need to get here. Yeah. That's why my voice.
You've already
is
lost
this way.
Your voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, no.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. The last 2 days.
All right.
He has made me do my own gauntlet.
Nice.
You can tell.
Nice. You like that word, don't you? You like the gauntlet. Gauntlet.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I definitely do. I've been going through it.
This is the microphone gauntlet.
Yeah.
So normally I'm the host. I'm the host. Jeffrey's co-host. I'm host.
I'm the dishwasher.
Yeah, he's washing dishes back there. I'm shaking hands and kissing babies or whatever. Shaking babies and kissing hands.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Whatever it takes, buddy.
Whatever it takes, man. But here, you know, I mean, I have responsibilities, and there's been changes and you know, switch ups and whatever. So I find myself out there doing judging and just being in different areas around here. And frankly, just walking around doing nothing. You know, well, no, kidding.
No, you're not.
forget it. So in the end, you've been covering the whole, well, you and Pooch over there.
Yeah. And Bucky.
And you know what, man?
Did you know hear what the story? Radio guys have? That no one else has is great nicknames. Pooch and Bucky. I mean, come on. How is that not a show in and of itself? Pooch and Bucky.
Yeah, but wait. I got one better for you. You have Chefferies. My nickname in 1994 is Chefery.
Chefery.
His name is Chefery, so they dropped it.
Nice.
I started the cartel, switched my nickname to the Kingpin.
So nice.
Yeah, that's where it was. So I was like, all right, I like the chef. I love the Chefferies. I love that. So kudos.
Well,
you're bringing the brand all the way in.
Yeah, I didn't invite it. I didn't invent it. But when I saw it and heard about it, I was like, oh my God, we got to put some sizzle around that.
Yeah.
That's hot.
You did.
That's hot, right?
Who came up with Bike Club?
So a guy out of Seattle, Washington, Sean Niles, created Bike Club.
That's cool. That's a cool name.
In Yakima, Washington. And thank God it was somewhere that no one can ever find. And so I literally drove through a freaking snowstorm to get there to see it for the first time. I thought I was going to die going over a mountain. And when I saw they're doing it, the same thing as I saw with Anthony and Chefery, I was like, I'm going to take this and I'm going to make it bigger. And I bought the rights immediately to it.
Wow.
And so now we're in conversations with Sam's Club to take Bike Club and put it into clubs. Sam's Club throughout the nation.
No, that's for you, man.
We don't know how
that's
we're going
so
to do
cool.
it.
That's awesome.
But they want to do it. As you saw this weekend, Sam's Club Bike Club was a huge hit.
Yeah.
These champions were like, what the heck am I doing with this? What is this? And I said, just trust me. Go in there, do what you love, do your thing, have a good time. It'll be great.
Now, I got to experience that. And that was cool.
Oh, you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Yeah.
Seven,
yeah. Thanks.
So,
listen to this. I love this. This is the future of food sport right here, by the way. We've got a high school barbecue competition that we hosted here. Eventually, the World Food Championships, I believe, is going to host every national championship of everything that has anything to do with food
with people who have to do it over in a corner somewhere. Right?
Are you going to keep it here, though? It's World Food Championship, right? So does that mean that it just inherently has to hit the road?
So there's some things I can't talk about on that front.
Understood.
However,
he had to kill you.
I will tell you.
We already established the...
Take this home and just think about it, okay?
I know a guy.
Get back to me in the morning. That's awesome. We got a winner just announced. We are trying to stay in Texas with the main event. There's going to be World Food Championships Asia. There's going to be World Food Championships Midwest, Mideast, everything that you can imagine. And ultimately...
But the Big Daddy's here.
Well, the Big Daddy's going to be here for a while, for sure. It's going to be World Food Championships. Eventually, this might... And I'm just saying this is a might thing.
Hypothetical,
right?
Sure.
I can't look beyond tomorrow, let alone into the next 2 or 3 years.
Heard that.
This might become the American version. That there's a winner.
It's like American Idol kind of.
Yeah. There's a winner from America. So maybe the American Food Championships. And then you got Dubai Food Championships. You got Australia Food Championships. So on and so forth.
Right.
That's where we'd like to go. We'll find out organically if that makes sense. We'll find out strategically if that makes sense. But for now, the main event stays here. It'll be in Dallas or possibly another major city that we love.
Tampa? What?
We are in negotiations.
That's not Texas.
We are in negotiations for 2024's host, and we're not ready to announce where that's going to land.
Mike, I got a question for you. When you you started with X amount of categories.
Seven.
How do you choose the categories moving forward? Are you going to expand that, or is it going to be like street talk, like street food of the world?
We usually experiment through our infusions. So, like, we might take on cheese, for example, and then we think, oh my gosh, there should be a cheese category. That's kind of how bacon happened. So
bacon's magical,
right? And we always look at trends.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure out, is there enough traction in that particular trend or that particular concept? Gastronomy, for example.
Right.
We made that an infusion or requirement for Chef this year. Does it need to be incubated out into its own category? We'll find out. We did an MRE challenge yesterday.
We did that one
with military.
That was
just to have fun.
Yeah.
But now the question is, oh my gosh, should that be a category? So we go into a think tank, a recap in December. We look at the pros, the cons, the wins, the losses, and we come out of it with a game plan for 2024. And you might see a 13th or a 14th category created as a result of that.
I love the fact that you did the MREs, because if you did it with people that are not in the military, oh my God, those guys would be like,
the screaming eagle.
I think that'd be beautiful to go forward. Just say,
I think there should be.
Very good.
I mean, I'm not hard coding this, but I really do believe there should be a military division.
100%.
A military category.
Yeah.
Right. And we get all the branches represented. We work with the bases to create a winner strategy for them, a golden ticket strategy.
I really didn't get a chance yesterday to expand while I was on stage. Right. I kind of touched on it. But so if you know anything about culinary and the kitchen and the hierarchy and how the whole thing just flows and operates, you build these, even if people do not appreciate each other or like each other, there's bonds that are created, trust factors, right? So that's in practically every kitchen or institution of that kind. When you're talking about military, that takes it to a whole other level of bond, right?
Right.
But here we are. Here, you take a military chef experience, combining with just the chef experience, and you're putting that together. I you know, and that's what I was thinking about up there. You know, when I found out that I was going to go up to do that, I was like, oh man, what am I going to talk about? And the first, it was, I had 15 minutes.
What am I going to talk to you about?
I had 15 minutes to come up with something. Really, is what it was. Thanks, Mike. I had 15 minutes.
You're welcome. So,
yeah.
That's like an eternity in my world.
There's the culinary gauntlet. There's the judge gauntlet.
Love it.
That's what you switched the rules.
Dirty.
That's what you did.
You dirty. All right, so anyway, I thought about it. I said, you know what? I have the feels for that, right? That's what I wanted to talk about. up there, but I didn't really know how much time I had. But I believe that there's a secret sauce or a secret ingredient. Again, no pun on that, but I feel like that's a really big deal, man. So for me, if you're going to do some sort of a military thing like that, I think it would be gigantic to the delivery of the, you know, expansion of what you what everybody here is trying to do.
I think it needs to happen. The question is just how. Right? How do we weave it into the championship? How do we add more days? This is already a pretty long slug of things, right? We had a day of ancillaries on Wednesday. We have 2 days of opening rounds. Then we have 2 days of finals.
Right.
If you're asking me how do we really work that, I think eventually this becomes a lot like in NASCAR, what's called Speed Week. We're going to have to create Food Week, and we go from weekend to weekend. So maybe the first weekend is the fun, energetic things that are very kind of new or trendy. We do a weekend of high school stuff, military stuff, et cetera, and then you settle into the pro side of things as the maybe do a 2 or 3 days of conferencing, expo, et cetera. And then you get into 4, 5, 6 days of food competition. I'm just going to need a lot more people because these are long days, lots of infrastructure, and lots of organization.
Yeah, and if you don't manage the cash flow and the caps on all this stuff, you find yourself that there won't be another one.
Right, right, right.
So, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but the Coasters in the ACF last year, number one chef of the year.
Really?
And pastry chef of the year.
No joke.
And it's the young lady that was here now. She took chef of the year.
Really?
So the Coasties took ACF. Now they're taking this.
They're trying to.
Yeah, well.
We'll see.
Oh, we don't know yet, right?
We'll see.
Yeah, we don't know, but my God. That's a good level.
Well, it's a great testament of the fact that they're talented. They love what they do. They know how to compete.
Passion.
Yeah.
The teamwork is ridiculous.
You know, I don't want to belittle it, but from a military perspective, that's a competition, right?
Yeah.
Someone's going to win and someone's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
If it's played out the way it plays out, right? So they know how to compete, is my point. At the end of the day, they know how to be precise. They know how to go in. They know how to execute in different ways.
Right.
From a military perspective.
Excuse the pun.
So it doesn't surprise me that they're good. And we'll find out how good they are when it comes to what I consider food champs. And they'll become food champs. I don't even call people chef. Or home cook or pro team. I call them food champs. But once they get here, once they prove themselves, once they compete, whether they win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter to me. They're a food champ.
Right. Well, yeah, because I guess at the end of the day, you're 15 years in the kitchen, you know, at the country club or the restaurant or whatever. Not that it doesn't matter, because that's all your experience, you know, rolled up into what you can how you execute. But the reality is it doesn't matter. Right? They're not applying for a job, right? They're here to, you know, people are here to win.
They're here to prove that they're good at something. They're here to have a good time.
Right.
They're here to network and meet other people who follow the same trials and tribulations that they do in the kitchen. And that gets back to the community that we started with, right? Yeah. That's why people leave here knowing more people, adding people to their circle of influence and becoming friends with individuals they never thought they would, and going to house parties and Airbnbs instead of cooking your own rack of lamb. You go eat someone else's food. And that's the beauty and the magic behind the curtain.
By the beautifully said, we brought the rack. We brought the lamb over there and cooked for them. Wow, I didn't do shit. It was Jeff.
I like clarifying.
Yes, yeah. I'm not taking. I will never. I will never take your thunder.
You don't.
I will never take your thunder. All right. So here we go. If you don't mind, Mr. Producer, Jeffrey. Antonio.
Yes.
How do people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram. It's just my name. It's at Anthony Martorina, Martorina.
That's a handsome Italian name, my
man. Thank you so
much.
That
is a handsome name.
Appreciate that.
Mr. Mike
McLeod.
How do we find you?
Instagram, McLeod in the Cloud.
Oh. Cloud in the Cloud.
Yeah. He's got a cool name.
That's pretty cool. Cool. I'll take it. Gentlemen, appreciate you having us here. Appreciate you actually being on the program. You guys are awesome.
My pleasure.
We need to talk and see how we can, make this better.
We will. I promise you that.
Indeed. All right. Jefferson, before you pass out and just destroy the equipment,
we are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.